First we count the months, then the weeks, and then the days, and now we are calculating the hours to the local government elections 2016. All the political parties wrapped up the election campaigns at the weekend, all very confident of winning the hearts and votes of South Africans. While the ANC is widely expected to hang on to its majority in Johannesburg, bitter adversaries are privately admitting the strong likelihood that they will have to deal with each other to form councils in metros where the ANC's dominance is under threat, among them Tshwane and Nelson Mandela Bay. And it seems that we are moving to a new era of coalitions. We take a look at what can be expected after the elections with political analyst Max du Preez. Max, good morning to you and welcome to the program.
Good morning, good morning.
Thank you for joining us, Max. We also have on the line with us Nick Borain. Nick, good morning to you.
Good morning to you all, and hi, Max.
Good morning, Nick.
Thank you both for joining us this morning. Let us begin with yourself, Max. Let's start off with the new kid on the block, the EFF. The EFF have not had a chance as yet to prove its mettle in running a council. They sound very confident of increasing the support on the ground. And is that a fair assessment? Will they give the ANC and the DA a run for their money?
In certain places, they certainly would. Here's the thing. Let me say first, I don't really believe in the opinion polls that we have seen lately. I think the samples are too small. I think the political atmosphere is such that you can't really trust it. But, you know, maybe it's some indication. I think one of the dangers of this election is that the EFF, in the words of Julius Malema himself, think they have trebled their support since they started 3 years ago. And they were 3 years old yesterday. And that would give them like 25% or so. And it doesn't seem as if they got there. Maybe they doubled their support. Maybe they're just like over 10%. And if they misinterpret their own support and they do very badly, then I think there's a real danger that some of them supporters might be upset and do some things that shouldn't be done. But it's true that the EFF has a chance to be either first or second in places like Rustenburg and Polokwane. It's been a real factor, but it's nowhere, in my mind, it's nowhere near the support of the DA. I think, you know, what would be a good idea for me is for the EFF to actually win a municipality like Rustenburg. So we can see over the next 5 years what they would do, because they have fairly radical policies, but they also tick all the right boxes in terms of service delivery and power to the people and all that kind of thing. So if they got, say, Rustenburg, will they, as most people think, mess it up, or will they, as I think, pull out all the stops and get the expertise in and make it a showcase of what the EFF can do?
Yes, that will be really interesting. Nick, now coming to you, we have the surveys indicating that Johannesburg, Nelson Mandela Bay and Tshwane will be a close race. We know people are angry at the slow rate of service delivery, corruption and housing. But at the end of the day, when people have to make their cross next to the name of their preferred candidate, do you believe people will vote with their hearts or their gut feelings?
I do think that that moment when you're in the thing is in front of you, where you put your cross, can change, and your identity often comes through. You might find it, for example, the most obvious example is black South Africans who find it difficult to vote for the DA, no matter how angry they are with the ANC. So yeah, I think, you know, when it comes right down to it, people vote with their hearts, let's say, in the sense that they vote in an emotional way, or in a way that is consistent with their feelings, rather than a calculated political choice. I also strongly agree with Max. I think this election has been way overblown. You know, this is a third tier of government election. It is important for a whole range of reasons, because I think it reveals the continued erosion of support, particularly in the Gauteng heartland industrial areas, particularly amongst the upper black middle classes who appear to be angry about corruption. But these, but the way these things have been spun is that these are massive defections. You know, there was a 10% defection in the 2014 votes in the Ekurhuleni, Tshwane, and Johannesburg, but this still left the ANC well above 50% of the vote in all of those areas. I do think clearly that that has gone further now, but has it gone to a point at which the DA is able to form a government? Certainly, the polls are indicating not in, the internal party polls indicating not in Joburg, possibly in Tshwane, but it's going to be as close as Dammit, and possibly in and more most likely, I think, in Mandela Bay, but actually for quite different set of reasons than the middle class defection of Gauteng. There, it's got a, there's a whole lot of elements, but and one of them is an ethnic, kind of tribal element, where there's a lot of anger, I think, about the perceived dominance in appointments by Jacob Zuma of isiZulu speakers, whereas the Eastern Cape gave up its youth and its wealth and its future in the last years of the struggle against apartheid. And I think there's a lot of anger about that.
A number of factors at play. Max,
can I
go ahead. Yes,
you don't mind. I think we are treating, all of us as voters and the politicians, are treating this election on Wednesday differently from a previous local election. As Nick indicated, we almost treat it like a general election. So there's not an awful lot of focus on the local candidate. It's all national policies and it's all the party instead of... And I think this is because we sense that this election on Wednesday is only a prelude to the 2019 election, which is going to be the mother of all elections, because there's an expectation that the ANC could get very close to or even slightly under 50% in 2019. I don't think that's necessarily true, but there is that perception. So people are positioning themselves, and it's important for the DA. If they don't grow now, they're in trouble in 2019. And if the EFF doesn't grow substantially now, you know, so it's true of every party. It's kind of a test up to 2019. And I think we're also thinking of President Zuma's fate between now and 2019. So all these big national factors are at play, rather than who's my local guy in my ward. And I think that will also be reflected in the coalitions that will necessarily have to be formed. Because if the ANC is going to dip under 50% in 2019 at the general election, then there will have to be a national coalition government. So we are preparing for coalition politics. And I think it's, on the one hand, a very good thing, because, you know, the center is getting a bit weak. And for stability, you need a strong center. And for that center to hold after 2019, you probably need the bulk of the ANC and the bulk of the DA in one party, with the EFF and UMSA on the left, and Solidarity and Afro Forum and Freedom Front Plus on the right. So we are training now for the next election in 2019.
Yes, and that's why there's been such a great focus on this election. Now, coming to you, Nick, in terms of the great focus, in terms of the campaigning, billions have been spent on election campaigning. Did the different parties do enough to ensure they gather the votes behind them?
Well, I've got to say yes, in the sense that they have campaigned extremely hard. They put that, like you said, put a lot of money. They get a lot of professional advice. They do a lot of internal work and polling and where people live and what their thoughts are and what their votes are. So they do as much as humanly possible with a lot of money, apparently, to get the voters behind them. So, and as we know, that many of them are still out there, all from all the major parties, still trying to garner votes. So I certainly wouldn't say that they've undersold. They've sold as hard as they can, and are continuing to do so right up until the last minute. Of course, you've got to ask what they're selling. Because it's an election, and because, you know, there's a lot of blather and grand themes, and we've seen the ANC swerve, I think, in my view, into playing politics of in its attack on the DA of saying this is a white party. It's the progeny of the National Party. Tends to forget that the National Party ended up in the ANC. But putting that aside, and that that the leader is a kind of an Uncle Tom who's working for whites. The DA desperately claiming the heritage of both Mbeki and the Mandela and the whole history of the ANC. It's not a bad strategy, but I would have, if I was the DA, I would have pushed accurately or otherwise their record of governance harder than I would have pushed the ideological idea that they are the inheritors of Mandela's legacy. The EFF clearly been out there and punting and really working hard, and they, as we know, these are brilliant campaigners, brilliant tacticians, but it's difficult to see the EFF. You know, the EFF vote is spread. And here, because you need to win a council of 278 municipalities, you have to have the majority in that area, or at least I'm pretty sure they're going to be the alliance partner or the potential kingmaker in many areas, but they're going to struggle to win in any particular area because their votes are so spread between, and I agree with Max, 10-12% of the vote maybe.
Interesting observations on that front. Now, Max, coming back to you, we've heard so many reports of disillusion, ANC supporters not prepared to vote for the ANC anymore. Which way do you believe this undecided voter will sway? Will it favor the EFF or the DA?
That, I'm afraid I can't even begin to guess. That, again, is back to the personality of the individual and that person's history. As Nick has mentioned, there are a large number of black people who are terribly angry with the ANC, and they're kind of almost liberal-minded, and yet they still say, I can't go and vote for the DA, it would betray my ancestors or my heritage or my history in the ANC. Now, those people will probably go for the EFF or for Bantu Lemisa or Tera Lakota. I saw Professor Tolela Mangu yesterday saying he's going to vote for Bantu Olumisa. Now, he's a black consciousness guy, and it's interesting that he says he's not going to go for the EFF, he's going to go for Bantu Olumisa. So perhaps here and there we might see the fortunes of the United Democratic Movement of Bantu Olumisa score a little bit, especially in the Eastern Cape. But, yeah, that's the big question, where are the disaffected people, former ANC people, going to take their vote? I don't know.
Nick, is it possible that the ANC support will drop to below 60% since the first democratic elections in 1994?
If you'd listened to the media and the various polls and the kind of focus, you would have said definitely. I think it probably will. It will be the first time. But like I said, the kind of coverage is of an ANC on massive retreat that's going to suffer a huge shock. That shock's going to lead to major changes in the party, the possible recall of Jacob Zuma. That whole narrative that leads to Cyril Ramaphosa coming out of the conference and leading the country into a new dawn, I just really don't buy that. And I think some of the markets have bought into that idea, and you know, and for them, in a very narrow way, means go long Rand and back up in bonds. I think I would be more cautious of that. It's possible the ANC goes below, I think the ANC will go below 60, but not by far. The contested municipalities, I think it'll be a lot closer, at least. And I really think we're only talking about Tshwane and Nelson Mandela Bay. It's huge. I mean, they've eternally lost Cape Town. They're only 8 major metropolitan areas, and they control huge budgets. They're important. Gauteng in general is important. we are seeing the ANC almost morph into two kinds of organizations, one in KwaZulu-Natal, patronage, paternalism, traditional leadership, and an ANC in Gauteng, where there is leadership, I think, that has responded to the middle class pressures very well, of the ANC, trying to treat the voters as customers of the services that the city delivers. And I think they've done well. They might have done enough to pull some of the losses back, but it's a different kind of organization entirely. Modern, demanding of excellence from public servants, wanting the potholes filled as well as the roads built. And, you know, when we say middle classes, we're talking about people earning, like the whole families earning 15,000 rand a month. This is a low middle class vote that is affecting from the ANC, where in some numbers. So we've got two different kinds of parties, one modern, urban-based, one rural, far more similar to ZANU-PF in many ways.
Interesting observation. Max, we heard Nick speaking about the DA's usage of Nelson Mandela and the legacy of Mbeki. What are your thoughts on the strategy that they employed in that regard?
I'm in two minds. At the beginning, it irritated me a little bit. But I must say, I think Musi Maimane did fairly well in this election. I think he's established himself now more than before. He has more gravitas now than before. He's the undisputed leader of the DA. I think that becomes clear now. He's not going to be swayed by some white dude in his executive. He's the boss man now. And I think the way he's explained it, maybe it would make sense to a lot of people that really that he is continuing with the legacy of Nelson Mandela rather than Zuma. I think we can all agree that President Zuma is not continuing the legacy of Nelson Mandela, and it just shows you how important this name is, this iconic name still is. And that's why the ANC yesterday dragged a very old and frail old Winnie Mandela in a golf cart to their big rally to sort of claim back the name. But I think perhaps it's legitimate. It annoyed people a lot, but I think it's legitimate to say we are now continuing the legacy of Mandela. And Musi Maimane went further, and he even said, of Mbeki, but that was more aimed at hurting President Zuma.
At the end of the day, Nick, are we entering the era of a coalition government? And if we accept that it leaves us with interesting coalition options, can you see the DA going into a coalition with the EFF? And will the EFF be prepared to go in a coalition with the ANC? And will such pairing not seriously anger the voters?
Hey, look, that is such a big question, and I think parties play their cards really close to their chest before the elections because they don't want to say, look, we're fighting for to be in a position to form a coalition. They want their voters out there no matter what. But when it comes right down to it, who will ally with who? The term suck that I've been using is that the EFF will find it impossible to ally with the ANC while the ANC is led by Jacob Zuma, and that the EFF, under extreme circumstances where the deal looks good and where they're given real kind of power within a council, it's not inconceivable that a tactical alliance with the DA could happen. Now, but in that case, both constituencies would be angry. The EFF is the capital that is the party that hates white capital, and the DA, I suppose, is a party that in so many ways represents the opposite to the EFF. But I still think, you know, when it comes right down to it, and city council's up for stake, do we give it to the ANC or do we sit together and get these major positions and run a government? I have got a feeling that the EFF and the DA could, in very select circumstances where the prize is the sweetest, find ways to govern together, which would be very interesting for our politics.
Max, in previous elections, there were calls for stay-away votes. But what statement does a decision not to vote make when a party does it in favour? You know, who does it favour in the end when people stay away?
Yeah, the stay-away thing is always comes up when we have an election because it's sometimes hard. I mean, I have not made up my mind who I'm going to vote for. And it's 2 days, you know, before the time. So there are a lot of people like me. And then the temptation is to say, well, why bother? I always have a problem with that. If you stay away, your vote doesn't count. It doesn't, nobody counts the stay away votes. Nobody knows whether people made a political statement by staying away or whether they were just too lazy to go and vote. My suspicion is that people who would be hurt most if people stay away on a big scale is the ANC.
Hmm. To you, Nick, some parties call the vote for a smaller party a wasted vote. But what is the role and the function of the smaller parties?
Look, you know, Nelson Mandela Bay, I can imagine UDM or COPE being the kingmakers in that circumstances. We saw that radical increase in one of the by-elections for the UDM. I hear Max's conversation, I think he said with Toledo Manku, about the UDM. It's an attractive option. It's the ANC. It's the old ANC. So many people, I think, might be interested in that as an alternative. Some of the smaller parties, and particularly the regional and the like ethnic parties in some of the Indian areas, etc., those might well be kingmakers. Some of them might well win smaller wards and councils, or at least be in a position to be part of, or a key part of alliances. I think... I do see, and it's difficult because the big weight of our policy, because this is a national third tier of government, it's a national local government election, there's 278 actual separate elections. We will be able to get a sense of how independent candidates and those smaller parties perform. But in our politics generally, we overwhelmingly filled at the center. At this stage, I think a lot of the ideological ground is covered and a lot of the national percentages, you know, right up to 97, are covered by the ANC, DA and EFF, in terms of people's sentiments. Local government elections work differently. The majority party generally does less well in a local government election, which is particularly why I suppose the ANC is anxious. In general, I think our politics is not really about, it's less about the small parties because they're really small outside of the top three.
Max, your final thoughts on the topic?
I think this is the election with the highest political temperature that we've had. If we can pull this off with a minimum violence, I think we will find ourselves very positive and more focused after this election that we could withstand, because everybody is expecting some kind of violence, especially after the township violence in Pretoria after the mayoral candidate debacle earlier. So it's a good test for all of us, and it's a good test for coalition politics. If we descend into violence, for instance, some parties, perhaps the EFF, disputes the legitimacy of the results, then we're going to be in trouble. So we should hold our breath and we should all go and vote. At least we know, and we've witnessed this every day for the last few weeks, that democracy is pretty much alive and well in South Africa.
Gentlemen, thank you very much for your time this morning. Really, really thank interesting you. Insight that you've shared with us, both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good day. Bye.
Thanks. Cheers. Bye.
Well, that was Max Dupriez and Nick Borain, some of the top analysts in South Africa, chatting to us on the airwaves of Radio Islam International, 22:09 Central African Time.